Welcome to Cats and Rats Podcast, covering your Florida Panthers.
Hey, everyone, and welcome to the newest Cats and Rats Podcast, episode number 13 here. I'm your host, Kirby Lupel, joined alongside my co-host Cody Stevens and Nick Levine. Before I throw it over to Cody and Nick here, I just wanted to add a few words here off the top as the Panthers are approaching this pivotal Game 6 in Boston. I think these are some words that come to mind for me when I think about this game ahead. Adversity, heart, determination, push through, the clutch factor. You guys know I love that word, clutch, and resiliency. Cody, how are you feeling right now? A lot of these Bruins fans online, they're bragging about one Stanley Cup in the last 50 years. I don't know why they're hanging their hat on that so much. It's been pretty petty online. And some people say, Kirby, sometimes that stuff only happens online. I don't see those things happening in the arena. And Nick can get to this here in a second, Cody. But I've seen some videos from some of our own community members where Boston Bruins fans are celebrating like they won the series here. But anyways, Panthers, don't close it at home in Game 5. We're going to go over everything in Game 4 and Game 5 here on this podcast episode. But how are you feeling, Cody, going into pivotal Game 6 here?
I'm feeling confident. I mean, as we're going to get into it, I mean, the track record of the Florida Panthers in the playoffs after a loss will speak for themselves, for itself. Just given what this team has been the last 2 years, regular season and playoffs, I don't think I'm anything short of fully confident that they'll pull out Game 6. We'll get into Game 5, which was, in my opinion, their worst game of these playoffs, even though they only lost 2-1. Mm-hmm. I still think that was probably their worst, collectively as a team and as a unit, that was their worst game of the playoffs here.
Yeah, and I do obviously want to touch base on Game 5 with Nick because he was in attendance for that game. But before we go really deep into Game 5, Nick, we do have to get into Game 4. But I don't know, just tell me what the atmosphere was like in the building in Game 5, where your emotions are at right now, which, you know, can be up and down at the best of times with your nerves and different things like that. Of course, we hear from Nick at the game. He'll give us a call sometimes in between intermissions. And then obviously in our post-game spaces, Nick comes on pretty much right after getting back from the rink or as he's getting back from the rink heading home. So, Nick, what is your feelings on this series right now as the Panthers head up to Boston for Game 6?
Well, like Cody said, I'm also confident. Want to talk about Game 5 and just throughout the whole playoffs. I thought it was a pretty good atmosphere, especially to start. You know, as far as the nerves go, I think they're about as general as nerves can get for any typical playoff game, right? I will say this. I know we had a conversation about this on our Twitter X post-game spaces. I thought, even though the crowd is not as loud, like, for example, the atmosphere in Game 5, later in that third period, the crowd was up on their feet. They were getting going. So I know it's not perfect, but when you compare it, and I've been going to playoff games, Kirby, since the 2015-16 season. Mm-hmm. I went to that. And even 2011-12 when the Panthers, Kevin Dineen's first year, Kirby. So just seeing, like, the atmosphere from, like, the Islander series and then the Tampa Bay series a couple years ago to now, it's a perfect no, but it's gotten a lot better. So I think Panther fans deserve some credit.
Yeah, and again, Nick's in the building there. The things that we can hear from television are a lot different than what Nick is hearing when he's live in the building there. Guys, I just want to go over Game 4 and Game 5 here in this podcast episode. We'll start with Game 4. Of course, I want you guys to break down the Sam Bennett controversial goal. I know Cody's got a lot to say on that. And then the Barkov brilliance that ended up being the game winner at the 7:31 mark of the third period. Some fans are still not happy with our power play, as the power play in that game went 1-for-6. But the game prior in, what was it, Game 3 there, we scored 4 goals, right, Cody? And converted on 4 there. So I really don't think that's a big part of this series, as fans are like forgetting kind of recent memory of how we were. Of course, there's got to be a little bit more consistency there. The Sam Bennett controversial goal was deemed to be a good goal and was on the power play there in the third period that tied the game. The Panthers trailed in that contest 2-0 after the first period. Bobrovsky, which has kind of been a story in this series, was not overly tested. It's 16 save performance. Jeremy Swayman in the loss had 38 saves. So again, I think a big story in this series has been how much pucks the Panthers are firing at the Bruins. No longer can we say, are these not high quality or medium quality? We're just not throwing pucks on net to throw pucks on net, which kind of seemed to be the story of last year's regular season in the Paul Maurice system. I think Boston's struggling to generate a lot of things 5-on-5. Their Pastrnak goal in the first period in that game was on the power play. So they had the Carlo goal that was 5-on-5. But again, I think the Panthers are really controlling the flow. They're 13-2 shots on goal in the third period in game number 4. Again, on Boston's home ice, where the Panthers should have confidence going into game 6, how they play against Boston. And Boston's power play hasn't got off in this series either. So again, Cody, Nick, where do you want to take this with game 4? Obviously, the obvious thing is the Sam Bennett thing, but anything that you want to touch base on that, or just series in general?
Before we even talk about game 4 and like prefaces, like all the controversy and stuff like that, let it be known, all three of us all agree, the Panthers dominated that game. They just
for sure.
To win
for
that.
Sure.
42 shots to 18. Boston had nothing from probably around 12 minutes of the second period on. They had nothing. But I thought that was goaltender interference on Sam Bennett. I walked out the room thinking it was I was shocked when they did not call that goaltender interference.
Nick, your thoughts with Cody there? Guys, go ahead on this. Yeah, I want to hear you guys' debate here.
Yeah, I kind of agree with I wholeheartedly agree with Cody. I think we really got away with one there. And
that's Bob. We're screaming from the hilltops. That's goalie interference. So
yeah, and you know,
now the explanation on it was that Swayman doesn't have a chance to make that save. I don't like how that rule is.
I don't like that
instituted.
Who are you? In my opinion, like who are you to tell a player a you can't make that play? Like, you know.
Yeah.
Wait, well, it's funny that no one's a goalie expert out there that never played the position, but then they're all breaking this down like they kind of are. Yeah. It's kind of a backwards logic because they go, goalies are voodoo. Let's not even talk about the goalies, but everyone's been talking about this play.
Unfortunately, like what's going to come of this is this sets a bad precedent. It truly does. Just like in the future, like let's say next season, like let's say when a pivotal game, let's say this is for playoff seeding per se, and playoff seeding, as you saw this year, was monumental. And let's say Bob, that happens to Bob against like I don't know, Toronto, right? Let's say Bertuzzi just shoves a Montour out the way, bang, it's in the back of our net. We're screaming from the hilltops. That's goalie interference, and. Like, and I just
and people can argue, like, did he love tap him? Did he push him hard enough? It's
but
still
that should
kind
be a
of blatant,
part of it.
I guess you could say.
But wasn't there something there that they could not overturn it? Like, if it were to be called, there would have had to be a penalty called.
Not
on the
anywhere
play.
In the rule book that I've read, I don't think that has to be the case. Like, if that's the case, they got to change that rule. There's no reason why.
I will say this, we got away with one there, absolutely.
Oh boy, we got, but. Like,
and does that take away from the Barkov brilliance that we're
no,
going to get into here, Cody?
No, absolutely not.
The Bruins, the Bruins' perspective and outsiders' perspective that the refs are always favoring the Panthers. If they come back to this moment, this early on, middle part of the series, and say this is going to affect what happens in Game 6, potentially a Game 7, like I'm not really here for that argument. And as we'll get into Game 5,
but
the roles were kind of reversed.
Let's talk about that Barkov goal because you're going to have people say, oh, but that changed the whole momentum. Yeah, but here's the thing. It didn't stop. That goal does not stop Barkov from he walked through Pastrnak, DeBrusque, McAvoy.
Mm-hmm.
You can argue the three best like Boston's best was on the ice there, and he walked like through him like a hot knife through butter. Are you gonna blame the call for that? Barkov.
Yeah, that hasn't been getting much publicity. You know, with the. National broadcast and coverage.
Because they can't pull any controversy from it. They can't do it from that call. Like, here's the thing. When it comes to that call, like, I understand, like it zaps, like, a little bit of momentum, but Boston fell out of that game completely. Like, here's the thing. If they do call that back, I'm confident we still tie it.
Mm-hmm. And Boston fans can't argue that we're not clutch. In Boston, that we come up in big moments. This team is very resilient. It's not like it's not like it's a big deal for the Panthers to come back down two goals. Like they've done it before, you know. And on that play too, I don't think Bennett would necessarily get the penalty. It would just be a no
really
goal.
A
like it wasn't it wasn't an egregious cross check to call an interference, a cross check, a roughing. It's just kind of a no call on the penalty. And then if you want to call it goaltender interference, so be it. I'm fine with that. I said I'm fine with either way where that call is made. And I'm not the type of person just to side with the Panthers. You guys know how I was in the regular season with the Nick Cousins stuff in that game against Columbus.
We were right there. I was right there with you. I mean,
I was like, I don't like those type of hits on the numbers from behind. I know Goodbranson jumped them and everything like that, but I'm not going to just favor the Panthers just to favor the Panthers. On that call, I was like, I can see it going either way, but I don't like the letter of the law or how it's written that, you know, they're trying to determine if the goalie can make the save. It should be deemed if the player is shoving the player on top of the goaltender, or like we'll mention here in game five soon, is there any interference being run with the goaltender himself?
Like I said, it just sets a bad precedent, and like that's a call like that's going to reverberate for the rest of these playoffs, because that precedent was set there, because they can't go back and call, because goalie interference is a judgment call.
Yeah, but we don't know how they're going to call it exactly.
That's
going
it's a,
forward.
It's a judgment call. It's based how they feel that day. Like it's such a subjective thing, and it's so tough. Like unless it's like blindly obvious, and I thought it was obvious there, but I guess it wasn't. But in the end, but when it comes to that, the Panthers deserve to win that game. You're not going to change my mind about that. They dominated from start to, I mean, I'm not going to say start. Boston started off hot that game. You know, McAvoy kind of set the tone with that huge hit on Reinhart. That could have been interference, by the way, because he didn't possess the puck. But it was a clean hit, and I really didn't think anything of it.
Yeah, Boston came out, played very physical, but again, struggled to get shots on net. I think they had five in the first period.
Yeah, and like, four. Yeah, and then, but like, pretty much that. I mean, Boston, that's the difference between the team. And I don't think it's just mentally. And men, like, the mental part of sports is probably my favorite part, because that's what separates a lot of, that separates a ton of guys. A ton. It separates, like, let's say you have an average player with average skills, everything, versus a player who has all the skills in the world, right? If the average player has a way better mentality than the skilled player, the average player is getting picked every time. I mean, every time. If you don't believe that, look at the career of Patrick Hornquist, and you can come back to me on that. There was not a better mentality than Hornquist.
And that's kind of wrapping up on game four. Again, another physical brand of hockey. And, you know, you liked seeing that in these playoffs. I think it's really picked up from the Tampa Bay Florida series, which is ironic because we thought that series was going to be maybe one of the most physical series. There was hits, of course, and everything. But this series has taken on a real mean, nasty level because of the hit collision, whatever you want to call it, with Sam Bennett on Brad Marchand, who has been out these past couple games. And then we kind of get into game five, Nick, where you were at. The second line, no show. The late push at the end there by Reinhart, Monter, that little spin move there and that little brilliant pass that he made to Reinhart with the game on his stick. But you can't really blame Sam Reinhart for anything there. You can be kind of frustrated with kind of how it ended there. But just kind of pulling up his numbers here, 8, I think, official shots on net. I think he had something like, I don't know, was it? It was almost double that amount for shot attempts. So he was firing pucks at will all night. And he has a chance there late to tie it. And both teams, again, story of this series has been kind of that power play outage. That's why I haven't been personally as upset as maybe you, Nick, or Cody, or some of our fans with our power play. The Bruins go 0-3 in that game that they end up winning on the power play. The Panthers go 0-4. Yeah. I think the Panthers are still getting opportunities and shots on net. A lot more even for shots on goal that series, with Bobrovsky and Swayman having to stand tall. A lot of fans thought we kind of got goalied in that game. I'm not going to be with that one totally, but that was a game that Bobrovsky played one of his better games. I know Nick has been a little critical of Bobrovsky's play in this series, but that's a game where Bobrovsky can win for us if the forwards step up. And I think a lot of that pertains to our second line guys and kind of the lack of production from our wingers and stepping up in big moments. I said I needed a Matthew Tkachuk, Carter Verhaeghe game five. Well, now we're going back to Boston, and I need those guys to step up in game six in another series clinching game. Nick?
Yeah. I'll start by saying this. I wasn't too upset with the power play through the first couple of games. I thought game five, the power play was the worst it's been probably of the playoffs. And Because I thought through the first four games of the series, I thought we were getting pretty good chances. And, we had, what was it, six or seven power play goals for the first four games. So I couldn't be too upset with it. The one thing about game five is when you take a look at, like, for example, Tampa Bay, game four, when we were up 3-0, we had a chance to clinch the series in Tampa. I thought they came to the rink too wired. Like, they were gripping their sticks a little bit too much, I thought kind of the opposite here in game five, where I thought, maybe the intensity, like, it was kind of more lackadaisical, really. And I talked about this on the post-game spaces after game five. And, I don't agree with the notion that we got goal lead. I don't think we really created any high danger or grade A scoring chances that would test Swayman that much. Also, the power play not playing its best that game played a role in that. Another thing that I think Boston has gotten better with as the series has went on is faceoffs, which, Florida still has the slight advantage, 53 to 47 in this series, but Boston has gotten better as the game has gone on. I mean, as the series has gone on. Particularly, I wanted to talk about was our forecheck. We know that's the Panthers' bread and butter. We know that's how they beat the Boston Bruins last year and eventually went on their run. I didn't think they were effective enough, and they weren't getting in on the forecheck quick enough in game five. And I said that plenty of times on the post game spaces. I really thought it was just too many easy zone exits for Boston. They were doing that little reverse pass, and I noticed that, like, McAvoy was really didn't really have any pressure on him in the defensive zone.
They were
And
just a step slow the entire night.
and you notice how Charlie McAvoy probably had his best game of the playoffs in game five. Well, we didn't put any pressure on him. So I think we need to be a lot better in that category. The second goal, I'm not going to talk about the goalie interference because we just talked about the one in game four, so that's
That
kind of a
one was
wash.
really ticky. I really
Yeah,
didn't have a problem.
that would have been like very borderline for me. So anyway,
And I don't blame Paul Maurice for
no,
challenging
I
that one
don't blame it
because
either. Because
Boston's
it,
power play hasn't been good. What
right.
do you
And
think?
one other thing on the power play I wanted to say is
And our PK has been elite.
give credit to Boston's penalty kill. Like, this is a good penalty kill still. Like, they don't, again, people saying, oh, Boston finished with 109 points, in the regular season. They won a round and they
Nick,
played hard here in the second.
these are two of the better penalty killing teams in the regular
They
season
were
and
tied
playoffs
to they were
combined.
tied for a penalty kill in the regular season.
Well,
And
yeah,
they're both up there in the playoffs too.
I think, and I'm looking at it right here actually, Tampa Bay number five in the regular season, Florida number six, Boston tied with Florida officially at number seven, but 82.5 for Boston and Florida, 83.3 for Tampa, and the power play in this playoffs, Kirby, is at 23.7%. So, I know people are complaining about it, but we face good penalty kills here, right? So give credit where credit is due to the opposing team and their penalty kill. I wanted to talk about the second goal. I'm not going to talk about the goalie interference. I wanted to talk about behind the net, Matthew Tkachuk and Sam Bennett run into each other, and it's back the other way, 4-on-3. They score. I notice, and the Panthers do a very good job of this, is they stay above the play. And what I mean by that is, there's never a player like when we're, for example, when we're back checking below the puck, right? Behind the play.
It's always
They're
four
always,
high, minimum
yeah,
four
it's
guys.
they move when usually you see all five guys in the screen on the TV together. And that's why we're so effective, right? There's been a lot of times, not a lot, but majority of the time when we're getting scored on, and not all the time, but there's a decent amount that whenever these goals happen against us, we are below the play. It's particularly in goals off the rush, which we have been very good with. But again, go back and look at game four in Tampa, how I think it was either I think it was Brandon Hagel who scored the 4-on-4 goal. Barkov and Reinhart get caught too low. It's in the back of our net, right? So I think the Panthers, obviously, it was an uncharacteristic game for them. They weren't quick enough on the forecheck, and one mistake of them getting caught too low ended up costing them the game.
Yep.
But you know what?
Yeah.
I want to give credit to Boston. We'll see if they can replicate that here in game six. And not only can they replicate that effort, are we going to replicate how uncharacteristically poor we played in game five? Those are the two questions we're going to ask ourselves. In my opinion, even if Boston does replicate that effort, I don't think we're going to replicate our effort. So,
and yeah. Nick, I just want to add, Cody, before you jump in here, Nick's favorite, as we call him, Nick Kripios, had on Ed Jovanovski on his show this week, and Jovokop was talking about how good the Panthers backtrack on plays, how good their back checking is, how it's kind of formulated for their centers to do that. But I felt in game five, our wingers weren't coming back heavy
enough
and tracking back. And that's when we end up losing games. When our wingers are not engaged on a 200-foot style game, and I know Matthew Tkachuk's responsibilities aren't that of Alexander Barkov's or even his lineman and centerman, Sam Bennett. But when they play to their level, I'm talking the E-Rod, all the way down to the E-Rods, the Lustos, all the way down the lineup, even to our fourth line guys, when our wingers are all tracking back on plays and being really heavy on bodies and sticks, we're a different team. And I notice in this series, Cody, when we're not doing that, especially our wingers, not pulling these games out.
I'm going to
That also goes, if I could just jump in here, that also goes to the point I just said, Kirby, staying above the play, right? I agree.
But it's
with
not
you.
Just the center's job.
Like,
yeah.
It's no, it's everybody. Like he said, like one of the better back-checking teams in the NHL. We had, like I said, we see five guys in the picture majority of the time for the Panthers, right?
And sometimes we're not on home ice. On home ice, we're getting lazy.
Yeah. And, you know, I think being in Boston in game six is going to force the Panthers to be on their toes a little bit more here. I also think, like you said, one of the best back-checking teams in the NHL got caught behind the play a couple times throughout the playoffs. It happens, right? And, you know, it's just if the this is why I said if the Panthers play their game, right, stay above the play, get quick in on the forecheck, right, those are the two best qualities of our game, like characteristics of our game, and we didn't do those very well. And it was still a one goal game at the end of the day. So
For game four, back on the second goal, by the way, I know Bennett Tkachuk crashed on that. That was
game four or game five?
Game five. I'm sorry.
Yep.
Game five, when Bennett Tkachuk got caught in that second goal, it was a bad pinch by OEL that created that rush. Like OEL had two bad plays. The first one, I think
he gave up a pizza.
Yeah, but on the first one, he got back and kind of recovered, but he was in good defensive position, but he's kind of boxed out. Mm-hmm. But on that goal, there are two. Verhaeghe was just asleep.
And not strong enough on his man, just like I said. That's backtracking towards the net, but he lost him that whole play.
And I also wanted to talk about this, Kirby. Been talking about our penalty kill for the last, year plus, right? Talking about how I wanted to be a little bit more aggressive, right? And there is a calculation to that risk, too. If you go back in game four and see the Pasternak power play goal, Lostarinen kind of leaves his positioning. He's a little too aggressive to the guy in the corner there. Opens up Pasternak. Now, Stenlund got his stick in the lane, but probably want him to finish through and try to block that shot. He didn't, but that's just another thing, you know. Panthers kind of making their own mistakes. It's not a lot, right? Like, but it just seems like some little mistakes we make, it ends up in the back of our net, and you know. But I not a
what
huge.
Are you saying that?
But that PK, I don't have a problem with it, because that's just the system. The thing was, Boston just moved around the puck quickly, and it was on their stick, off their stick, and it was in the back of our net. I thought that was just a better power play than our lack of penalty kill, to be honest here. Because that's the way you're going to have to beat our power plays. Be quick with the puck and make sure your passes are crisp. Because if the puck's off your stick, we're rushing you and and we're clearing it. But with game five, and I have not seen a lot of people talk about this, and it was my biggest gripe. Two guys I need to highlight here. Matthew Tkachuk, Carter Verhaeghe. Those two were probably, that was the worst games those two have played in the playoffs in a Panther jersey. Because both of them, in my opinion, sunk us that night. Because I saw Bennett trying to get into the zone, try and create stuff, but here's the thing, and dump it in, try and chase. Problem was, both his wingers are step slows the entire night. And I mean the entire night. And Tkachuk is blindly, you know, throwing the puck on net when no one's even remotely close to there. Throwing passes to the other team. Verhaeghe's just in another universe. And every time we lose, it's like, oh, what about Barkov? And if you watch that game, Barkov was our best forward. Again, he's been our best player this entire playoff run.
And when we lose, it's like Verhaeghe closing his hand on the puck penalty, defensive penalty.
That was
here.
Just plain. That was just
it's
plain.
Not Barkov. It's not Barkov. It's the wingers, and then it falls down to the defenseman after that. It's not usually our centerman, namely Barkov, that is not coming up big in these moments. Now, again, you can look at one shot on goal. Well, he comes up with the big goal. Then you can look at another game. Barkov, 9 hits. Like, you can look throughout this series what Barkov's doing, and it's others around him not doing their job.
And so, plus, on the Reinhardt goal, he takes two guys with him. Reinhardt's free. It's the stuff that he creates. But with Tkachuk and Verhaeghe, they just need to be a step quicker. I mean, just quick. Like, because Verhaeghe, one of his best skills is his speed. And it drives me up a wall when he doesn't use it.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like that night, it just felt like they weren't in it. And like the third line was like, bleh. And the fourth line did their thing, but the third line has been better than the second line this entire series.
Yep.
And like Erod has outplayed Verhaeghe, Tkachuk, and Bennett this series, and you can't tell me otherwise.
Yeah, these are things that we talk about in our post game spaces, like breaking down lines and everything like that. Before we go here tonight and kind of be very quick with kind of game six feelings, thoughts, guys, I just want to read some stuff from our spaces community because I didn't read it there the other night, so I'm going to read it here on our podcast. So this is from Chris at How Much Tkachuk about game five. There is definitely a certain jump missing in the Panthers' step. Some of the puck handling, the passing, it was just a touch off. And even with that, they had opportunities to tie or win the game. And I said, exactly, Chris, it's kind of like our C-level game. And it was almost enough for us to pull out in a one goal type game. This was from Ratty McRatface. It's funny. I had to tag Cody on this. They said, anyone that comes at Ekblad tonight, I'm going to come at them on this oncoming mob. Now, I don't think that was one of Ekblad's four games or anything like that, but it's funny there. I always tag Ekblad, Cody on the Ekblad stuff, because it's funny on that. Here, this is from Yoon. This was a Panthers team who didn't come out to win tonight. There's no heart, no speed, and no emotion. Shame on them for not closing this series out today. We get some hard critics on our post-game spaces, in our chat, or on calls. And then the last one here from Rotator _ slow start killed us. Then once we remotely settled into the game, we got goalied. Now, we already talked about that. I don't know if I totally agree with that, Rotator, there. It's playoff hockey. You got to credit the Bruins for not turtling. Ultimately, though, just a state of execution. They ain't beaten us three straight games. I don't care where the games are played. Hashtag time to hunt. So that's some comments from our community there, guys. Guys, before we go here tonight, what are your feelings, thoughts as we head into game six here? A lot of people will be listening to this on their drive home or maybe their morning at the office to kind of get pumped up for this game six. Cody, next.
Let's see. I'm 95% sure they're winning. It's just like you could say, like, oh, the pressure's on Florida. But to me, like, the way I look at it, I don't think Florida really feels pressure at all. Like, the way the team has played, I feel the pressure's on Boston to replicate what they did. And I just think, well, the number one key for this game is to get the first goal. Make Boston play offense. Don't let them get into their structure or whatever. Make them play offense, and that's how you'll increase your lead. But I'm feeling 4-1 Panthers. I think it could be like 2-1 with like the two empty netters.
Feeling pretty comfortable. I know Nick doesn't want to see any overtime or anything like that. Or Nick doesn't.
I do not.
Seven.
I don't want to see anything.
What's your thoughts anymore there, Nick? I'm feeling pretty good, and I'll co-sign what Cody told me off air. I'll just say that I'll know more in towards game day, and towards puck drop is when I get more of that feeling. But Cody said if we're up two goals, it's going to be a good sign for the Panthers. The Bruins struggle when they're down, let alone
obviously, like you said, we need to get off to a quick start, get the first goal or two, frankly. And really, like, those are just specific things we need to do. As far as keys to the game, just play our game. Like I said, number one, is Boston going to replicate what they did in game five? If the answer to that question is yes, great for them. But here's the other question. Are we going to replicate our poor effort that we had in game five? Cody, Kirby, what are your answer to that question more than likely?
No, they know time. They know it.
Yeah. And we're playing so good on Boston road ice. And I just think this team doesn't replicate bad performances.
Here's
They can
what I'll
replicate
say.
good performances, but bad ones.
Boston had a very good game, and I give them credit, right? Absolutely. They fought hard. We did not play well. Certain players did not play well. And the two biggest elements of our game that help us succeed are staying above the play and our structure and our back check and getting in quick on the forecheck. We did not do those two things. And at the end of the day, it's a one goal game. We had a chance to win it, tie it, whatever you want to call it, right? So go in there, obviously with a little bit more sense of urgency, get off to a better start. Maybe probably get the first goal. But you know what? I think it's important just to stick to our game, worry about what we can control, right? What the Panthers can control. And I think we're gonna be fine, you know. It's important, and I think they're gonna come in a little bit more wired than they did in game 5. And I also think they, you know, come in, get to their game early, kind of wear Boston down a little bit. Don't let Boston get any kind of hope. Like, again, they're going to be energetic to start the game, right? So if we could kind of put an end to that quickly, that's going to really help us moving forward. But again, I've said this in the past, and I'll say it again. I trust our coaching staff and I trust our personnel to make the needed adjustments and to give us the best opportunity to win, because they haven't proven to me really that I shouldn't trust them otherwise. I should believe otherwise.
We're feeling pretty good here in the Cats and Rats community as well. We have our own group chat going now, so make sure you join us post game so you can get in on all of that after the games. Again, that's for members that are part of our post game show, that are our speakers, some of our longtime listeners in there as well. Make sure to follow us on Instagram at Cats and Rats Podcast. We've got lots of Instagram stories and posts and reels going on there, even on non-game days. And I'd like to let everyone know on our sponsor, Caneswear, here, which always does a great job of retweeting out our Twitter X spaces post-game shows. Panthers fever is here. Are you geared up? Caneswear in Davies is the place for all your Florida Panthers needs. They have the latest gear for our favorite NHL team. Jerseys, polos, t-shirts, hoodies, hats, and more. Caneswear has you covered. Stop by their store in Davie or at pantherswear.com. Again, that's pantherswear, WEAR.com, for all your Panthers gear. And as we go out, as always, let's wrap this series up, guys. Let's go, Cats.